Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. His love is towards us, His people. He loves us so much. All of us, He loves us. Even the Laodicean church that betrays Him, He loves them too. But He can't help people that will not receive salvation. They got to receive the love of the truth in order to act on it. Now, when these broadcasts that I'm doing, it's not to slam anybody or to hurt anybody, but I'm showing these things at God's command. Now, the Lord is in a position, He has to have a response for every choice that people make. And He's letting us know His protocol, because many people that we love are not in covenant with God, and then they don't want Him in their thinking. Now, people portray themselves to be a certain way because they know what's socially acceptable and what's not. People that agree with Satan will most of the time not say that they do. There are some wild people that will, but when people love the world, they try to hide it. Whatever they're doing is wrong. I watch people all my life. I've seen it thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And remember, I grew up in church. When you see things as a child and your spirit is lit, you see it. You don't understand it, but you see it. But when you get older, it makes sense. When people, for instance, this is a good example. If a married couple they have a divorce, one has strife against the other. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. That's how it is. Unless you get rid of the strife, you're going to say things against your ex-spouse before your children. And they'll believe it, and they'll act on it. But when they're older, they'll see it for what it is. This happens over. I've seen it so many times, so many ways. People let strife get in their heart, and it causes all kind of problems, confusion, and every evil work. And so it is in life. Whatever people like, whatever they attach themselves to, they like it. It thrills them. And so here come us preachers saying, don't do that, that's going to kill you. Then, but they like it. Whatever it is that's got their attention, they like it and they won't let it go. Well, what happens, the process of sin hardens the heart. And it interferes with how they look at God. Instead of God being the one who loves them and there to help them work out their salvation through Christ, He's the guy who don't want me to have any fun, and they have animosity against Him. And they start blaming God for their problems. Because if you listen to Satan somewhere, Satan's culture is infectious. Whatever you had that was strong, the sin in your life will work its way to infect what you had that was correct. So when people allow false doctrine, for instance, it becomes over a long period of time, it becomes a breeding ground to erode your true beliefs that were right. And you start looking at things differently, thinking you're right with God when you're not. So any sin that people allow in their life, it's going to find its way to consume the whole person. The way the works of darkness works on an individual level, a community level, a family level, then a community level, then a city level, county level, state level, until the whole country is consumed. People that agree with darkness, they are the fallen ones. They fall away from the light of God's word. They change it. They doctor it. In this country, you can vote on anything. And it's getting worse and worse. Freedom is a good thing. It's a good principle. But what do you do with it? True freedom true freedom drives out sin. Anything that will cause corruption. That's the proper use of freedom. People in this country, they are free to choose whatever they want. People have fought and died to be free, out from under the dictatorship of others. And they're spoiled brat prince children that always get into some kind of adultery and fornication and foolishness. And then they become a slave to sin, so they cause other people to be a slave to their sin, basically. So freedom was the order of the day 500 years ago. But what do people do with it? You have to choose to do right. And freedom has bonds. It has boundaries that you just don't cross, or you'll have dead freedom. Now, in this country, a man can say, well, I think I'm a woman today, and the doctors will go along with it because some idiot made it a law. Politicians. Foolishness. A democracy will only work if the people love God. A democracy without God is demonology. I don't care how you look at it, how it sounds, it's, a republic won't work without godly principles. It'll turn into something else. It's the same thing spiritually. You can be washed in the blood of Jesus on your way to heaven. You're guided by the Holy Spirit. God gave us the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to help us grow. The word of God that we can fill our heart with and fulfill the law by love. Our love fulfills the law. But when you start sinning, you start having a problem with all of that, with everything God gave in grace to keep you free. If you use your freedom to sin, you're going to become something else that God has to judge. Sin of itself can't do anything without a host. In order for God to get rid of sin, he has to get rid of the host that wants it. Now, the day God is going to judge, see, there's no room for sin in God's kingdom. Years ago, I was at a church, a word church, and the Lord had given me that revelation, and I began to share it. But the pastor cut me off and didn't let me finish. And I knew then we had a problem. There's no room for sin in God's kingdom. And see, I didn't get to finish the whole thought. And that left the people, you know, that's why I stopped giving people thoughts. I started paying more attention to the Holy Spirit. Because if the people are not receptive, then it won't work. And when the leadership is wrong, then the people usually go with the leadership unless they're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. That's why it's so important to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, even if you have a good pastor. I have a wonderful pastor. The pastors at my church are wonderful. I love them. I've gotten thousands of confirmations. And it helps me keep my ministry balanced. But I still have to look unto Jesus. Because guess what? The best of us know in part. All the books we buy of authors of long ago, like Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, they all knew in part. They knew, and they were people. People know in part. Jesus knows it all. But he can do a perfect work through his vessels of honor who love him. So even if you're blessed by the best, you still got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher. There's no way that Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, he was an apostle. He didn't say, look unto me. In fact, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Christ is still the focus. If Jesus stops being the focus and something else is the focus, especially sin, then you can't repent unless you change your focus. And that's how it is. And then you can live in freedom. Then you can enjoy what freedom brings. But you can't allow any form of darkness to set up root in you. And the only way to do that is drive out the darkness. They were not just, the people of God, the Hebrews, were not just supposed to possess the land that God gave them. They were supposed to drive out the Canaanites, all of them, and not make deals with them. But they did exactly what God said don't do, and it troubled them. They were like thorns in their side and smoke in their eyes. They ended up being driven out of the land because they got in idolatry. They did precisely what God told Joshua to tell them not to do. They said they would do it, then they didn't, as a whole. But the few people, God always has a remnant that will obey him no matter what folks do. But for those who rebel, God has a protocol for them. Those that love God and live in innocence, they live according to God's love and his word, God has a salvation protocol for them. Now let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 8 again. The Lord gave me this one today again, which I'm thankful for. I saw it. This time we're going to look at it as something else. Within the chapter than we did the last time. I forgot what the last broadcast we did it, but the Lord has a lot to say to his people. And he speaks volumes in the word of God for our admonition. Now, Isaiah 8 verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Me'er Shalal Hashbaz. You know, Me'er Shalal Hashbaz is the longest word in the Bible, they said. Okay, verse 2. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. I love them names. I'm glad I wouldn't have to say that everywhere. Verse 3. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. And then said the Lord unto me, call his name Me'er Shalal Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, for as much as this people refuse the waters of Shiloh, they go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them waters of the river strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even unto the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. There's the name of Jesus. That's the covenant name of Jesus. God with man. Verse 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Let's look at something. Six again. For as much as this people refuse the waters of Shiloh, they go softly. You know, that represents what's true, what's honest, what's correct. The first love of God, your first love for Jesus, that represents the waters of Shiloh that go softly. Fellowship with God through Christ, the waters that go softly. When you ask the Holy Spirit something, he gives you answers it's peaceable. It's easy to be entreated. It's gentle, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of wisdom. And the word is sown in peace, the waters that go softly. When people reject the counsel of God's word for the opposite of God's word, which is like Rezin and Remaliah's son. They were bandits, basically. Now watch what follows. When you choose the way of sin, a little sin over here, a little sin over there, and you try to protect it, it's going to erode you. It's going to invade. It's invasive, just like I explained earlier. He said, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the rivers, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels. See that? The king of Assyria's armies represent what sin is doing to people within. They allow it. They rejected the love of God and invited the love of the world. And they start being invaded from the inside out. This is why the Laodicean church became wretched, miserable, poor spiritually, blind, they can't see their condition, and naked, they have no covenant. They become fruitless and unfruitful, and they work evil. They're contaminated. And the sin that they love so much contaminates them. And it changes their opinions. People who once wrote good books, they don't like their books anymore. Because they've changed. See, when the lukewarm church, they go through phases. They once loved and adored God. They grew. They learned from the Lord. Then they turn. Then they change. But they can't tell. They're blind. They can't see their condition or the condition they're in, or they judge people the wrong way. And then when God sends true prophets to correct them, they get mad, they find fault, and then they preach against them. I've been to church all my life. I've seen it. I've seen all kind of situations. But looking back on it, I have the knowledge of God greater than I did when I was a child. Then I have a comparison. My parents were good parents. But I saw the things that they went through. And they sheltered me from the things that went wrong. But I heard some things, and I knew people being people. If they, you know, some people love the world, and they're gonna cause problems. And looking back on it, I knew that my parents were sheltering me, trying to shelter me from the darkness. But I'm gonna tell you something about a child. Children are stronger than you think. Now they may not have all the answers today, but they remember those things. And when they're older, they see it for what it is. When I was a child, I thought as a child. My parents gave me that. That's why I wanted to be married. I wanted the kind of marriage they had. But I also wanted to play with the world like my friends, and like myself. But I knew that if I went too far with the world, I couldn't ever have a marriage like they had. So I had to choose. Even as a sinner, I said, if you go down the wrong road, you're not going to come back right. It's going to affect your future. And it gave me something to look to. I'm being serious. This really happened. There's a lot of things I could have done. But because I wanted a good marriage, I wouldn't do it. Then when I got saved, I was so glad that I didn't make a total mess of my life. Before I got saved, I didn't know. I couldn't value Christianity. I couldn't value Jesus right because I didn't know him yet. But after I got to know him, I wished that I had followed him all along. That was a deep regret that I carried around. All my years in high school, I did not know Christ. I got saved a few years after high school. So it's time, you know, I wish that I could have represented God all along. And I wish I had a mind to do right all along. But I had hope for a good marriage, and the Lord used that to help me. Now, if you go down the wrong road, if you leave the waters that go softly for the raging waters, that's going to come upon you. See, the king of Assyria, it represents the judgment of God. God gave his the people that were in covenant with him, that got out of covenant with him, he had to judge them. He had to have a protocol because they were going to consume everything. So God stirred up an enemy and let him just come raid the place and drive those witchy people out of his land. Even though they were the natural descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they were not circumcised in the heart. Even when in Ezekiel's temple description, it said this place, it was a portion that was for those who first they were circumcised in the heart and circumcised in the flesh, but circumcised in the heart was first. And you can go look at it in the, I think it's around 42, 41, 42 or 3, Ezekiel chapter 41, 2 or 3. The circumcision was of the heart was first. And in the New Testament, the Lord talked about being circumcised in the heart in Colossians chapter 2. See, honesty, the waters that go softly. So when people reject the waters that go softly, they're going to be consumed with evil, and God's going to have to use the death protocol that's going to drive them out of the way. He's going to give them over to judgment. And that's what this is. The king, verse 7. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. Now the same thing that they did, the king of Assyria did. He's at an advanced stage. He loved sin all along. It hardened his heart. He became a witch. Now I use the word witch, witchy. These are people that love evil. They live by evil. That's all a witch is. They use the devil's demons to do their dirty work, their power. And they give sacrifices to do this. In his brain, in his corrupt mind, he loved power so much, he was consumed. He was Satan's biggest slave of the day. So the Lord used him to drive out the people in Israel that had become witchy in that way. They rejected the waters that go softly and rejoiced in darkness. So the judgment was waters of the river, strong and many, headed by the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he should come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he should pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall feel the breath of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Okay, associate yourselves, O ye people. If you associate yourselves in darkness, if you try to make a confederacy with others to promote your darkness, you're going to be broken in pieces. Then he said, and give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves in your darkness, you will be broken in pieces. This is not just for their time, it's for every time. This scripture will be relevant in the millennia, after the millennia, when Satan is loose to tempt whoever he can to join his army for the final conflict. And they're going to be all cast into hell. Gird yourselves. You should be broken in pieces. You're girding yourself against God, and you're going to be broken in pieces. Take counsel together. Read it again. Take counsel together, and it should come to nothing. Speak the word, and it should not stand, for God is with us. See, the covenant's going to live whether they live or die. The covenant's going to be the thing that lasts. He said, take counsel together. Now, this is to the wicked. They're taking the counsel together. They girded themselves in darkness. They're trying to form leagues with others. Take counsel together. It shall come to nothing. No matter what you come up with, the judgment of God will succeed, the death protocol will succeed. And it shall not speak the word, even if you say, I'm going to win, it shall not stand, for God is with us. The covenant is the only thing that's going to come out on top. Verse 11. For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. They're afraid. They're trying to get other people to help war against the king of Assyria without repenting. And because they wouldn't repent, they have no covenant. They're just like the Laodicean church, vulnerable. They're wretched, miserable, poor spiritually, blind. They can't see their condition. They think they're right. They think God is okay with what they're doing. And they're naked. They have no covenant, no relationship, and they become an enemy of God in deed and in word. Then he says, sanctify the Lord of hosts. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. But they won't do that. But those that do sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be their fear, and let him be their dread, he shall be for a sanctuary. See, some people can tell people have gone crazy. And the way the enemy get people, he tempts people to inwardly to fear. He tempts people inwardly to fear what others think collectively. But some people break through that fear. And they fear God. And they do it God's way. Verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both of the houses of Israel, for a sign and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, the people that break through, they're a sign to those who will not break through and fear God. They fear man. See, pride looks to men. Pride looks within. Fear looks to man. But the people in verse 12 who they're trying to form a confederacy, and they will not sanctify the Lord of hosts and let him be their fear. Okay, they're out of the loop. They're stubborn. But those that love God, to them he should be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel that went rogue, and for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. Now watch this. This is the wisdom of God. This is the life protocol. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. That's where God put the knowledge of God. In our day, bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. See, God gave revival knowledge to those that love him for real. Not the rogue preachers that act like the they wanted the waters that go. They wanted power. They went after the rivers that flow strongly, not the waters that go softly. They got out of covenant, so to speak. So Isaiah said, "Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and will look for him, and I will look for him." Now watch this. He's hiding from the wicked, the Laodiceans, the witchy people. Verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. See, he bound the testimony, sealed the law among his disciples. Now watch this. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead, are you kidding me? No, to the law and to the testimony. Now watch this. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly, They shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass, when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their God, and look upward. Okay, they're hungry. They want to know the truth. They want to know why things are not working. And they're mad at God because it's not working. But it's because they wouldn't repent. And they're falling in the pit. Verse 22. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. If you love darkness, you'll be driven to it. And you're going to go down the tubes because of the death protocol, because you wouldn't listen to God. And he had to deal with the wickedness, the wicked decisions of men. He has a death protocol. He has a judgment that's going to destroy the wicked. You don't want to go down the tubes in sin, and God has to use the death protocol. While those that truly love him, they get the life protocol. Remember, the lukewarm church is a deadly church. They worse than everything in the Old Testament because they rejected the light. They rejected more light. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes. You see what they decide, what they desire, what many prophets desire to see. You see it. You experience it. We receive the Holy Ghost. Then people turn. That's worse than people who didn't know. Consider these things. The Lord has a protocol either way, whatever you choose. But live the life of God that he may live through you. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Consider these things. Till next time, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Live in victory.